The American Civil Liberties Union, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, atheists, evolutionists, humanists, and if there be any other secularists, they're working night and day, 24/7, to turn our culture into a secular one. They file lawsuits against every level of government, local, state, and federal, to keep Christianity away from the public. They protest any public sign of Christianity. They ridicule believers in God. If they live out the course they have set, they will discover something horrible. They will discover the emptiness of life without God. They will discover that life is frustrating and that your soul is not satisfied when you leave out the one who has created you. And since this is such a prevalent thing in our society today, I am beginning a series of sermons on the book of Ecclesiastes, because it refutes the secularized life, the life without God, and shows that in the end, it is meaningless. This very thoughtful book begins with these words, Ecclesiastes 1:1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. When we read through this book, we're going to find that Solomon sounds more like a preacher and a prophet than he does a politician. We know him primarily as a king, yet when we quote Solomon or read what he has written, he does not sound like a king, a political leader, but he sounds like a preacher, prophet, philosopher. Intriguingly, in this opening passage, he introduced himself first as a preacher, then as the son of David, then as king in Jerusalem. Brethren, you can read quotations from America's presidents in her shining moments, and you will hear spiritual wisdom and allusions and direct quotations from Scripture. I believe America does well when her presidents preach to us from the Bible. And I believe the book of Ecclesiastes will prove my point. And you will do your best when you ponder wise words, live by them, and teach them to others. You will do your best, in other words, when you sound like a preacher. And I don't mean that every time you talk to someone, you have to give a 30-minute sermon. What I mean by that is that you're accumulating wise sayings, especially from Scripture, and you speak them. You know, we all have opportunities when we say things to people, just a little bit of wisdom. What then would a wise and wealthy preacher king say to us? If he was standing in this pulpit today, what would he say? Here's the first thing he would say as he begins this great book. Verse 2 of chapter 1. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does the preacher want us to know? He wants us to know the supreme or ultimate vanity. What is the supreme vanity? What is the vanity of all vanities? The fact that everything is vanity. Nothing has meaning. Nothing has profit. This is how he begins his sermon after introducing himself here in Ecclesiastes 1. 36 times in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon uses the word vanity, or a form of it. 36 times. In the New King James Version of the Bible, it occurs only 2 more times in the rest of the Bible. So that gives you an idea of the direction he'll be taking us. So then, he wants us to wonder, what do you profit? Verse 3. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Look at your life strictly from under the sun and ask the question he presented. What profit is all your labor? You toil for decades. You toil to provide for your family. You toil to build up a retirement. And for a few decades, if that much, you get to enjoy your retirement and then you die. Is that what life is all about? Why did you work? Why did you labor all those years? Suddenly you die. And what does all that labor mean to you? You did great things. And you made mistakes. Only for it all to end in death. Jesus made a man think about that very thing in Luke 12. And wanted him to think about the question when death comes, whose will those things be which you have provided? You work so hard to provide, and all of a sudden you're gone. Sometimes unexpectedly, at a time that we don't expect. Solomon continues in verse 4. One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Your generation passes away, then a new generation inhabits the earth. And do you know what that generation does? The same things your generation did, and your generation did the same things the previous generation did. Each generation works as though it has some grand scheme to fulfill. But then that generation goes, and we wonder, what was their labor all about? For all they did, and for all we do, the same problems still exist. America fought a revolutionary war. And we did not like a monarchy. In fact, George Washington even rejected the offer to become America's first king. No, we want a new system of government. Has that removed corruption from government? The state of Jefferson. Those of you who've lived here long enough know about the state of Jefferson. At least in the past, there were people in Southern Oregon and Northern California who wanted to form a new state. Jefferson. Why? To get away from Salem and Sacramento. And I forget now where the capital would have been. It was either Medford or Yreka, California. I don't remember which. Maybe someone remembers. But do you think that would have then removed whatever problems we think are in those state capitals? Would we now have a state capital for the first one in 50 states or 51 states that would have no problems? No. For all we labor and for all we do, the same problems still exist from generation to generation because what we do as humans generally doesn't touch the thing that needs to be touched that will change people. That's where the Lord comes in. While generations come and go, Solomon said that the earth abides forever. Something greater than all generations exists. Something keeps giving every new generation that comes along seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night, as God said to Noah in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Do any of the generations consider that they vanish so quickly while the earth remains forever? We're supposed to be thinking about that. There's something that Solomon said we need to ponder here. Does that not say something about the generations? We seem to have a higher purpose than just laboring for a few decades. We're high and mighty creatures, but we're here for such a short time. Surely there must be something greater than just our purpose here. Is it possible that all our labor on the earth, under the sun, is preparing us for a place above the sun? Next, in verses 5 to 7, Solomon speaks more about the earth. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. The earth abides forever, but it keeps doing over and over again its ceaseless duties, even as the endless generations perform their ceaseless duties over and over again. The sun rises and the sun goes down, and then we notice that it comes up where it did the day before. The wind goes toward the south, then it goes toward the north, and it whirls about, only to return where it began. The rivers run down to the sea, and yet with all the rivers that are running into the sea is not full. And Solomon said the water ends up back where it began. What is that all about? The cycles of the earth are like the cycles of the generations. Even as the sun, the wind, and the water repeat themselves, so new generations repeat the follies of previous generations. Does the following generation learn from the previous generation? Have we learned, has this generation here learned from all the mistakes of the generation before us? And what about the generations who are even in ancient times? What about the generations in the 9th century? What happened in the 9th century? You know what, right now, I can't tell you one item. Yet I know the earth was here, and generations were here. They did great things, and they made mistakes. How come we're not learning from them? I mean, we don't even know what they are. Does one generation learn from the next? Well, Solomon went on to say that labor just fills everything. Verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Everything we do requires labor. And how can a person express the extensive labor on the earth under the sun by every generation? Think about it. How much labor shall the entire human race exert tomorrow when the work week begins again on Monday? In fact, I could say forget about the rest of the generations, just the crowd that's here today. How much shall all of us do tomorrow? I don't think anyone wants to sit down and devote all the time that it would take for every person to say, here is everything that I will do tomorrow. And then when it's done, to say, here's everything that I did. It's so much. Man can't express it. I don't think we can find a way to measure it. In fact, Solomon said, we labor for what we see, but we never see enough. Can a person express all that the eye can see? We labor for what we hear, but we can't hear enough. Can we express, can one person express all that can be heard? I don't know how you do that. It's impossible. That means a lot of things are going on. A lot of things are going on right now at this moment on the earth. A lot of things went on in the previous generation, in all their lifetimes, and in all the previous generations. So, we cannot say that there's new things on the earth. Listen to verses 9 through 11. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. Just look at yesterday. What happened will happen again. What happens today will happen tomorrow. Therefore, Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. Can you find he said anything and say that it's new? The earth has never seen anything like this before. There is nothing. Because he says it happened yesterday. In fact, he went back further than yesterday. He said even into ancient times. What's going on today has already been yesterday. Do you challenge that idea? See, we like to think of inventions. Well, there's new inventions on the earth. Well, yes and no, but that's not Solomon's primary point. His point is us. And he would also say, if you challenge that, it's because you have forgotten the former things. What things happened during the Depression, World War II generation? You know, that generation would say to mine, there's some things you need to learn from us. And you're right. And you know what? There's some things that generation needed to learn from the Civil War generation. And that generation needed to learn something from the Revolutionary War generation. And I can go on down the list. How many acts happened worldwide in the centuries before us? Take the activities on earth today, and Solomon's saying, you can find them somewhere in the past. And here's the thing. The generations after us will not know or remember what we did. The first generation after us will repeat our same mistakes and accomplish some of our same successes. But 100 years from now, very few people, maybe just the history teachers and history professors in schools and colleges, maybe they will know what went on in this generation. But people will have long forgotten us. So then, what profit does a man have in all his labor under the sun? Who will know your labor a few years from now? And will your labor change the way this generation or the next generation lives? See, Solomon contemplated all these things. And that's why he's saying at this point, I don't know what the point is of all our labor. I mean, what are you doing here? What is your purpose in all your labor that you put out? What do you hope to accomplish? It seems that we have no profit from all our labor. It seems that way. However, and that's a big however, it's circled in my notes. There is an event coming that answers the question Solomon first posed in verse 3. And since he didn't give us the answer in verses 4 through 11, I'm not going to give you the answer today. You're going to have to keep hearing these sermons. And we'll look and see what event is coming that'll give us the answer to the question of verse 3. There is nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. We come up with new inventions, but man remains the same. We do the same good things and we do the same evil things as previous generations and the future ones. It could be said bad about them concerning what we have done. However, that is looking at life from under the sun and not from above the sun. I don't want you to leave here in despair. Verses 2 through 11 is saying, here's what life looks like under the sun, strictly speaking, without considering what is above the sun. I do want you to know this. God can make new things. Every miracle recorded in Scripture testifies to that fact. Now, man labors in vain. God does nothing in vain. Man tries to make things new. God can make you knew. You have tried endless ways to better your life. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 has some words we need to cherish, because the Holy Spirit here revealed the only place of true renewal. Now granted, even what he says here, the newness that he speaks about here has already happened in the past, and it will continue to happen in the future. But for you personally, for your own experience, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You want to experience something new like you've never experienced before? Submit to Jesus Christ and let Him renew your life. Right now, in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of the angelic host, they're waiting for you right now to make the decision. I want to renew my life. I want to be in Christ because I'm out of Christ. How do I become a Christian? They want you to be thinking of those things. And I want to tell you right now that if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you want to live the new life that is in Christ, and you're ready to be born again by being immersed in water, then the God in heaven will create a new you on the inside. If you're ready for that, come forward now as we stand and sing.